actually a box set entitled Sky Dog, the Duane Allman Retrospective, that's coming out on Rounder Records. We'll listen to a couple of tracks, classic Allman Brothers tracks, in just a few minutes. But we're going to start off with something from Sonny Landreth. I was online yesterday, and everyone was posting this story. Last Thursday, a man in a Sonny Landreth t-shirt robbed a bank in Ocala, Florida, and led cops on a 140-mile-per-hour chase. I just thought that was quite interesting. They had a picture of the security camera. Yeah, sure enough, there was a guy in a big Sonny Landreth t-shirt doing the job. We're going to send this one out to that guy. This is Z Rider.
We'll be right back. just the other day. Said sure as a sunrise, babe. Tomorrow I'll be up and on my way. But I'll live on. And I'll be strong. Cause it just ain't my cross to bear.
Classic Allman Brothers here on the Medicine Ball Caravan on KRVS. That was It's Not My Cross to Bear, preceded by Don't Want You No More. There's a new compilation on Dwayne Allman called Sky Dog, the Dwayne Allman retrospective coming out on Rounder Records. Man, this is an incredible thing, too. It's like four discs. I mean, they cover everything from the Escorts to the group's Hourglass, his work with Clarence Carter, Wilson Pickett, of course, the Allman Brothers, Otis Rush, Delaney and Bonnie. It goes on and on. So a great upcoming collection, the Dwayne Allman Retrospective. And before that, some Sonny Landreth. We heard Z Rider from the album Grant Street, recorded in 2005 during Festival International, and playing that for Sonny because we just saw the word on Thursday, last Thursday, there was a guy in Florida who robbed a bank with a Sonny Landreth T-shirt and led the police on a 140-mile-per-hour chase. So that goes out to him, Z Rider, here on the caravan. It's 14 minutes past the hour. Don't have my weather, but I'll give you a couple of announcements here. Tarzan, Lord of the Louisiana Jungle, a film by Alison Bold Hart, will screen this evening at Casa Azul Gifts, 232 Martin Luther King Drive in Grand Coteau, Louisiana. That kicks off at 7 p.m. Allison will be there to answer questions afterwards, and usually this thing fills up pretty quick. So again, that does begin at 7 p.m. The Acadian Repertory Theater will present the world premiere of Chelsea Marcantel's A Place to Land. That will take place at Theater 810, beginning tomorrow, March 20th through the 24th. Theater 810, Jefferson Street, downtown Lafayette. For more information, you can check out their website. Actually, Acadiana Rep's website, acadianarep.org. tell you what, I'm just sitting here in the studio, and Dickie Landry comes in with a familiar face that some of you may know. I'd like to welcome, come on out, Chris France, who many of you may know, remember
Hello,
from
Cecil.
Talking Heads and Tom Tom Club and many, many other things. Man, this is some surprise, man. So what are you doing in Lafayette?
Well, I came down to visit Dickie. Dickie is an old friend, and also Francis Pavi, who's a painter that we adore. And he's a great painter and an old friend. And he did an album cover for us some time ago for Tom Tom Club.
That's
Francis
right.
Did. And Dickie plays on our latest, which I happen to have a copy of here, plays on a couple tracks. And anyway, we were just in the mood to come south for a while. They got a foot of snow up where I live the other night.
Really?
Last night. And that's great if you're a skier, but it's not so great if you're not.
Right. Well, let me talk about your connection with Dickie. When did you first meet Dickie? Obviously in New York.
Well, it was way back, I think, in New York. In the it would have been like 1975 or 76, I think, at the Lower Manhattan Ocean Club, I think was the first time we were ever introduced. And that was a club that was owned by Mickey Ruskin, who previously had owned Max's Kansas City. And we were playing there with Talking Heads. And, you know, it was an artist hangout. And I believe that's where we first met Dickie. Although I remember very clearly a time when we played New Orleans with Talking Heads back in – it must have been the late 70s.
I was at that concert.
And Dickie was there. I remember talking to him and sitting on the hood of the car there by somewhere in the Vieux Carré.
we'll dig in there.
My remembrance of this was I was working with Richard Serra, the sculptor, and we had been working all day, and we were walking down the street near the Village Gate on Bleecker. It's Bleecker, right? And he said, oh, I've been hearing about this new group. Let's go hear them. So we went down the steps into the club, and I think Richard lasted 2.5 songs. Let's get out of here. They're no good. So we went and got drunk somewhere else. And then about a month later, where Philip Glass Ensemble was playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles. And the Talking Heads were the night before us. So we all decided to go see them. And I was just blown away by that night.
Right.
So I decided to go backstage and say, like, how much I appreciated their work. And as I walked into the band room, everybody looks at me, hey, Dickie. I'm going like, how do you know my name? Well, we've been going to your Philip Glass Ensemble concert since we were in high school.
Oh.
So basically that's my first.
Oh, they knew of you. Well, there you go, man. There you go. Well, Chris, man, I mean, I've been listening to you guys. I think I had the first Talking Heads single, Love is a Building on Fire. Remember the?
Yep.
Is that the first Sire single?
I still
have that in my house, man.
It was before it preceded our first album.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, I was up to you guys. You know, I was just living in Mama, Louisiana, but, you know, I would read like Rock Scene magazine, New York Rockers.
Oh, yeah,
so I was
keeping up
with that whole scene. And, you know, yeah, I ended up for spending about a month in 78. In that whole, you know, village scene and
it
all that.
It was a good time, yeah.
I mean, it seemed special at the time, but in retrospect, it seemed like it was just one of those golden eras, kind of like, you know, Paris in the 20s or something like that, you know?
I think it was. I'm reading Richard Held's new book. Have you heard about that?
I haven't even heard that he had a book.
Well, it just came out. He's done several books already, but this is his autobiography, which goes up to, I think, 1984 is where it ends. But it's called I Dreamed I Was a Very Clean Tramp. And he talks about that time, you know, when he was living with Tom Verlaine, and they decided to form a band, which ended up being Television.
Right.
And then, of course, Richard Held was in the Heartbreakers after that, and then he was in
the Voidoids,
his own band, the Voidoids, yeah.
But,
or as they say in France, Les Voix d'Oise.
Les Voix d'Oise. Exactly. I hadn't thought of that. And he was probably really big. He just seems like he would be the type of figure that would be really big in France.
He was. The first time we ever went there, a young kid came up to us, and this is in Paris, and said, tu connais Richard L? And we were like, Richard L. Oh, Richard Hell. Yeah, we know Richard Hell.
Really, and you know, really that, and that look he had pretty much inspired that whole European punk thing. He was the catalyst
did.
For that.
Certainly did. Yeah.
Well, that all seems like history now, but we're still alive. We're still kicking.
Yeah.
So tell us what's been going on with Tom Tom Club. I mean, I'm surprised that you guys have a new record out.
We released a new EP in the fall, and we were happy to have Dickie. Dickie was doing a concert, a solo performance at the Guggenheim Museum in New York.
Right.
And we went to that, and it was really great and everything. And then we had his patron had a little party nearby afterwards, and we had a nice conversation with Dickie. And then as we were leaving, driving home to Connecticut, Tina said, darn, we should have asked Dickie to play on our new record, the one that we were working on at the time. And so I got on the phone the next morning, and I called him, and he was very gracious. He came up on the train and played on two tracks and played really well, I might add. So we released this record. We're going to do some touring. We're going to Japan in May, and then we're going to the UK in June, and hopefully a little work around the USA in the fall.
All right. Well, let's hear a track that's got Dickie featured. You know which one on here I should
pick? Yeah. How about Kissin' Antonio?
All right.
That's one of my personal favorites.
All right. Anything we should say about this tune before?
Well, Tina wrote the lyrics, and they are minimalist lyrics. They're about a girl who's in love with a Latino guy named Antonio, and that's what it's about.
All right. New Tom Tom Club here on the Caravan. Brand new music from Tom Tom Club featuring Dickie Landry there, Kissin' Antonio. And in the studio, I've got Chris France of Tom Tom Club and, of course, the legendary group Talking Heads along with Dickie himself. And, yeah, we've been talking about just the old days. Now, you said this is already out, the Tom Tom Club album?
Yes, it's called Downtown Rockers. You can it's on digital, which you can get at iTunes or Amazon, and it's also on 12-inch vinyl. Which you can get at.
Is there any website that your Tom Tom Club has?
TomTomClub.com.
All right, there you
go. But you're probably better off ordering it if you want to get it quickly from Amazon.
Right. Okay. Well. Okay. Well, that people can figure out where to get there. But let's. Yeah, we're talking about the old days with Dickie. Yeah. What did you think about? I mean, when you. Were you attracted to New York? Was there a scene already going on when you showed up there? I mean, you know, I know in the early 70s, you know, the club scene with you know, the Dolls and all of that already mm-hmm. happening. But what pulled you up into New York in mid-70s?
Well, we went to Tina and David Byrne and I all went to a school called Rhode Island School of Design, RISD, they call it. Mm-hmm. And David dropped out, but Tina and I completed our curriculum. We graduated in 74, and we had made a few trips to New York, to the area that was known as Soho, is known as Soho, and it was still in its early days then in 74. We saw people like John Cage and Philip Glass at this place called The Kitchen.
Right.
And it was a very attractive scene to us, and we also were very inspired by Andy Warhol and that whole thing. And we knew that Andy Warhol was in New York and mm-hmm. Lou Reed and John Cale and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I when I moved to New York in October of 1974, a friend of mine was living in a loft on Bond Street. And he said, across the way there on the Bowery, there's this club. There's something going on there. You should check it out. And so I went that night. It was a place called CBGB's, and there was, like, nothing going on.
And the CBGB, didn't it stand for, like, country, blues?
Country, bluegrass, and blues. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And that was the type of entertainment that Hilly was hoping to get there, the owner.
Hilly Crystal.
Hilly Crystal, yeah. But it didn't work out that way. But the second night I went, there was a band called the Ramones performing, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, this is really something. And then I went another night, and there was a band called Television. And then finally, that weekend, there was a band called Patti Smith. It wasn't even a band then; it was just Patti Smith and Lenny Kaye accompanying her on guitar,
mm-hmm.
electric guitar, right. And. It was totally inspiring, and I thought, we've come to the right place here. This will be like our Cavern Club was to the Beatles, you know.
And it did turn out that way.
It did turn out that
way. So you had the band already.
Well, it was just me and David at that time, and we thought we were going to find lots of musicians that would want to work with us, but. I guess we just didn't look the part or something. But Tina, after much coercion on my part, Tina volunteered to play the bass, and she came home. She came home one day with a bass guitar that she bought at Manny's Music Store, and so we began as a three-piece band, and then we gradually. After a couple of years, we added Jerry Harrison.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. The first single you guys were, I think there were three people on the cover, right?
It was just three of us did our first single. But
and how did you hook up with Jerry?
Jerry, I was at another Mickey Ruskin joint called The Local. And I was having a hamburger. That was their specialty. And I was having a hamburger with Tina one night late. And I saw this guy that I recognized from the Modern Lovers. The bass player Ernie Brooks, and I knew that Ernie's uncle was a partner of my father's at a law firm in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I went up and I introduced myself, and I said, "Hey, Ernie, we're looking for a keyboard player or a guy that can maybe play keyboards and guitar. Do you have any ideas?" And he said, "Well, you should call Jerry Harrison, who had been with him in the Modern Lovers, and the Modern Lovers had just broken up not too far before that, not too long before that. So I gave Jerry, he gave me Jerry's number. I called him. Jerry was very circumspect. He, you know, he had just entered the architecture school at Harvard, and he wasn't sure he wanted to, like, make that leap into another weird rock group.
Uh-huh.
But we played up in Cambridge. We got a gig in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and played there just so Jerry could see us. And I think he kind of liked it. So he came down to New York, and he was supposed to bring a keyboard, but all he brought was a guitar. And we he came down on the train, and he said, "You know, the keyboard, the Farfisa organ, was too heavy to bring on the on the train." So we jammed together, and it worked out really well. And then we went up his way, and we did some rehearsing with him with keyboards and stuff. And we just knew that he was the right guy for. We shared the same aesthetic and musical aesthetic, and sort of the rest is history.
Now, were you already signed at the time, or
we were about to be? And I think Jerry was waiting for that to happen before he became part of it. He didn't want to, like, leave Harvard University just to join some thing that had no future. He wanted to make sure that we were, you know, going somewhere
right
before he made the leap.
Right. Well, when you guys ended up doing the first album, Talking Head 77, I mean, that was just a phenomenal record, and just like we were saying, that whole time period, you know, people tend to think back of the days, you know, those who weren't born at the time or were just sort of not paying attention, thinking like, well, this whole punk thing was just a bunch of noise. But you know, especially the New York scene, it did kind of come out of the whole of Velvet Underground art rock scene,
and it was
just such a brilliant melding of just the artistic sensibilities with a somewhat commercial, snappy, danceable sound that we just never encountered before, and it was so fresh. And, you know, those are some of the last days that I tend to remember, like, you know, saying, I've never heard anything like this before. It seems like in the last couple of decades, I don't know if I hear music and it's like, well, this is not like something, sounds like it's coming from Mars, like, you know, as I remembered.
Yeah.
Well,
those, you know, days. Part of our art school education was that it's okay to derive your ideas from someone else as long as you add something that's unique unto yourself to the mix. And that's what we were doing with Talking Heads. We were very inspired by, like, the Velvet Underground and the Stooges and Al Green and, you know, Stax music.
Right.
But Roxy music, you know. We had David Bowie, Lou Reed. We looked to those people. But we also added something, I think, that was unique unto ourselves. And David, as a performer, had a very unique kind of presentation,
right,
as well.
Yes, exactly. So, and lyrical content too. I mean, those lyrics, I mean, they were just so abstract that I hadn't encountered abstract lyrics like that in a pop song since, you know, mid-60s Dylan, you know.
Just, yes.
You
know, so. I'm glad you appreciated it. A lot of people didn't quite get it at first.
I'm sure.
It took a while.
it was a bit. Well, let's play another song from this Tom Tom Club record. And as you were saying, this tune sort of reflects on those days.
Yes. This the song is called Downtown Rockers, and it's mentions it's got like a roll call of all the bands that we used to work with and were inspired by in the 60s and 70s. And you might say it's nostalgic, but I prefer to think of it as just a way of saying that these bands are just as important today, maybe even more so as they were back then. That as you were pointing out, television didn't sound anything like Debbie Harry. Debbie Harry didn't sound anything like the Ramones. Ramones didn't sound anything like Patti Smith.
Exactly.
The Dead Boys, who came in from Cleveland, were just completely wild, and it was a marvelous time. So a lot of people have written books now. You see a bunch of books coming out about this period. One is called Love Goes to a Building on Fire, which is a pretty good one by Will Hermes. But nobody, to our knowledge, had written a song about that period, so we did.
There you go, and here it is. Downtown Rockers, new Tom Tom Club here on the Medicine Ball Caravan, sitting in with Chris France of Tom Tom Club and Dickie Landry. Dickie bringing Chris by. And yeah, that is a great song. It sounds like it could, it sounds contemporary, but it sounds like that could have come out in the day as well. I mean, it sounds like it sounds like good old classic, you know, Tom Tom Club music. I mean, this
well,
sounds
thank
like
you.
This reigns back to you know, the you guys are early big hits, man. So
well, thank you very much.
Where were you said you were heading through Lafayette? Heading where?
Well, we're going to Tina's dad, who's 95 and lives in New Hampshire. Recently got married again, and he brought his new bride to spend the winter in New Orleans.
Ah.
And he said, A lot of people my age, they go to Florida, but I prefer New Orleans. So we're going to – and who can blame him? So we're going to visit him, but we thought we'd make a little – while we were down here, we'd make a little side trip to see our good friends in Lafayette.
Oh, we appreciate you doing that. And, yeah, a good time of year to be in New Orleans before the heat sets in, the humidity of the summer. I can't remember when Talking Heads play, was that a summertime gig? It seems like I remember that being a pretty hot
I think the one I was thinking of was a summertime gig, and it was very hot. But we also played here. Remember the warehouse?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
I
have pictures, and I remember David's shirt just being drenched in sweat. So I would imagine that place was hot any time of year, but if it was in the summertime, it was especially.
I imagine it was. I think we played the warehouse a couple times. Once maybe was wintertime. Okay. I remember being here once when it was wintertime, and the oysters were especially good.
They're good now.
Good now, too?
Oh, yeah.
We must have some.
We'll have some.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, it's so good to have you drop by. What a pleasant surprise.
Thank you for being so spontaneous and rolling with it.
Oh, man, no problem. You know, like I say, when I walk in and see a face that, you know, I've seemed like I've known just about, you know, a good majority of my life, but I never met face-to-face. It was a pleasure, man. Thanks so much for coming by. And again, new Tom Tom Club is called Downtown Rockers. And
yes,
Chris,
check it out.
Yeah, man, look, swing on this way if you guys ever can again, you know.
I would love to. Thank you, Cecil.
Okay, we're going to head on. More Medicine Ball Caravan. Boz Skaggs is coming to town in April. We're going to hear a track from his new album, Memphis. This is Gone, Baby Gone.
Tell you where it's at. Ain't nobody crying. But it always mattered to me, yeah. Lost your head, life is dead. So please, don't come singing that sad song anymore. 'Cause it just doesn't.
Gone, baby, gone too. I've got a girl on my mind. Oh, can I ever be you blind? She got a pistol. She got a black tattoo. You know I feel uneasy just sitting in this room. She got a black magic bag of tricks. I need my boy.
Mojo Fix here on the Medicine Ball Caravan. This is the group Cotton Jones.